Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. The day is Wednesday, April the 26th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Today's Issues is the name of this show, and joining me to co-host this morning is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Thank you very much. Hello.
And this hour, we're going to have, at the bottom of the hour, we're having Dr. Jessica Peck, who is one of our newest podcasters here at American Family Radio. And she's got an excellent book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues. So we'll talk to Dr. Peck at the bottom of the hour. Also, next hour, when Steve Paisley-Jordahl comes in, we're going to have Rob West on. What's Rob going to be talking about, Fred?
Rob is going to be talking about a subject that I know our audience is just really keen on, and that has to do with the Biden administration moving forward pretty well behind the scenes on this front with a central bank digital currency. Now, basically what that's about, it's throw all your paper dollars away, and the government is going to have in your bank account instead digital currency, which the government would control, basically. Be able to watch what you buy, where you're shopping, and even to the extent of maybe freezing your bank account. So pretty scary stuff. That's why we want to talk to Rob West.
And the Republicans are saying no.
Absolutely.
They're saying no. No, we're not going for this. And so I don't. We'll talk to Rob West about this.
Mm-hmm.
Biden wants to make people who have good credit scores pay for people who don't.
Oh, yeah.
With respect to home mortgages. Is that right?
Yeah, yes. Because you're disciplined and you've got a good FICO score, it's
right.
Called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you've got a FICO score, I think it's like 650 and above, something
yeah.
like that. We're going to tack on. He's going to make the banks. Biden's going to make the banks tack on an extra $40 a month or so to your mortgage payment
right.
to help people who do not have good FICO scores.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's called socialism.
If Biden has his way.
Yes.
And he announced yesterday, did Biden, that he is rip-roaring and ready to go for 2024, isn't he, Chris?
He's urging people to finish the job, but if you really pay attention to his video announcement, he doesn't talk about what he's done. So, therefore, leaving some people to wonder, what are we finishing?
He is going to run for president. That's what he said, and there's little excitement among the Democrats.
No. As we've talked about on the show here, the Associated Press, of all news outlets, has done polling a couple of times this year and found more than once that many Democrats, a majority of them, in fact, don't want Joe Biden. They're not excited about him running. So he faces an uphill battle compared to most presidents running for re-election.
He's got a brand new ad out this morning already. And I just want you, in this ad, this is what he says.
This is Biden.
Courage, opportunity, democracy, freedom, the values and beliefs that built this country and still beats in our hearts. But they're under attack by an extreme movement that seeks to, now listen to this, he claims, overturn elections. That's not true. They just want voter integrity.
Yeah. They'll be milking that January 6th thing 100 years from now.
Yeah.
They'll be showing, I mean, really.
And the ad claims to ban books. Well, let's flesh that one out a bit. What Republicans in Republican states want to do is take books celebrating sexual perversion off of school library shelves.
Right.
So they say ban books.
That's what they call banning books. Yes, maybe it's technically, quote, banning books, but there's more context and reasons for why. And by the way, this subjection to a lot of this material and books teaching promoting homosexuality and transgenderism and and things of that nature to children.
Yes.
That's what the objection is to, and some of the critical race theory by parents across the country. And they're not necessarily just conservatives.
Oh, no.
They're moderates and liberals.
That's
who are,
right.
Who are saying the same thing. So that's what Biden is calling book banning.
Book banning. And then eliminate a woman's right to choose. The Democratic Party celebrates abortion, the killing of unborn babies.
Up until the moment of birth.
Up until the moment of birth. So that's going to be basically the crux of their campaign, of Biden's campaign. Let's go out there and maintain the right to kill more babies.
Yeah. Okay. Now, on the Republican side, former President Trump had some controversial remarks to make, which
yes.
is highly unusual for him.
Yeah, right.
But yesterday morning on his Truth Social platform, mm-hmm. which is what he started when Twitter banned him, and he said, what did he say yesterday morning?
Yeah, he said the following. I'll read the whole thing.
You're going to read the whole thing verbatim?
I will.
Sometimes it's hard to read somebody tweets or Truth Social's verbatim. It's hard to understand. Exactly, but go ahead and read it verbatim. You're going to quote it. You're quoting former President Trump now, right?
I will. This is Donald John Trump saying the following. I see that everybody is talking about the Republican debates, but nobody got my approval or the approval of the Trump campaign before announcing them. When you're leading by seemingly insurmountable numbers and you have hostile networks with angry Trump and MAGA-hating anchors asking the air quote questions, why subject yourself to being libeled and abused? Also, the second debate is being held at the Reagan Library, the chairman of which is, amazingly, Fred Ryan, publisher of the Washington Post. No exclamation point.
He capitalized N and O exclamation
yes.
point. Okay, what President Trump is saying there is he's not going to debate the other Republican candidates as it stands now. I mean, huh?
Yep. Yes. That's what it appears.
Unless he changes his mind.
And the first debate is scheduled in Milwaukee, and Fox News is going to host that debate. So presumably you're going to have people like Bret Baier, maybe Martha McCollum, maybe somebody else asking the questions.
Right.
Why would the former president feel threatened by that?
I don't know. He said, a couple things here. He cited the second debate at the Reagan Library in California,
correct.
Right?
Uh-huh. Santa Barbara area.
And that he objected to the venue? Mm-hmm. Listen, I understand fully President Trump's skepticism of the liberal media because absolutely they hated his guts.
Uh-huh.
I understand that. I can appreciate that. However, he's creating a boogeyman here on this one that doesn't exist. I'll tell you why. What's the gentleman he objects to?
A guy named Fred Ryan.
Okay. Fred Ryan, I don't know, I've never heard his name before, who is, Trump said is publisher?
Of the Washington Post.
Of the Washington Post. Okay, Washington Post, well-known liberal newspaper out of D.C. Okay. They hate Trump. Okay, got it. The problem with that objection is this gentleman that he names here, this fella, has nothing to do with the debate. It's just, sits on the board or is the chairman of the Reagan Library.
Yes.
He's not going to have anything to do with the moderators.
Nope.
Or the people who ask questions of the Republican candidates who are going to be there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand President Trump's objection there. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Now, secondly, Trump may be thinking he's too far out ahead to make it worth his time to debate the other Republican candidates. That's what Biden's going to choose to do in the Democratic Party. But that typically happens for incumbent presidents. President Trump didn't have any debates when he ran in 2020 because he was a sitting Republican incumbent, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So President Trump here, to me, he's trying to clear the field now so that he doesn't have to do debates. He doesn't have to be challenged on the Republican side. I think that's a big mistake. I think my view is it makes the president look like he's scared to debate the other candidates, namely Governor Ron DeSantis, who is soon to announce he'll be running for president. That's my take on it. I'm not saying, you know, everybody shares that view, but Fred, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and let's make it clear. The RNC, Republican National Committee, has already said it doesn't favor being part of the debates once a candidate is chosen on the Republican side.
What now?
The Republican National Committee doesn't favor debates between the Republican candidate and the Democrat candidate.
Once the Republicans choose their candidate.
Once the primaries are all over.
I think they'll negotiate something with the Democrats to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
After the fact. But that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking
about. We're talking about a Republican primary debate, yeah, right?
Exactly. And once again, I would assume, you know, Fox is going to sponsor the first one, which is scheduled in August in Milwaukee. And as we said, the second one is sometime later at the Ronald Reagan Library. But these would be journalists that I would consider to be fair, that they would be, you know, people from Fox, maybe from Newsmax, I don't know, those types of individuals. So it doesn't, to me, it doesn't look good that the former president would say, I don't want to be bothered with that. I think it would be good for conservatives in this country to see all of these candidates on you know, if it's going to be Mike Pence, if it's going to be, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy, if it's going to be Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. I would like to see them on a stage, and they're each asked a question. I want to hear their response. I mean, big issues for conservatives.
Right.
Okay, where do these candidates stand on abortion?
Right.
I want to hear the response to that, because already there's differences of opinion. So,
yeah.
So people need to know these things.
Yeah, and why they're running for president and why they think they're the best candidate, and to debate some of the issues that are out there.
Yeah.
My view is I think President Trump is making a mistake if he doesn't go to the debates.
Mm-hmm.
Also here, what confused me a little bit, Ronald McDaniel, who is the chairman of the Republican National Committee,
mm-hmm.
she was supported by President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She had a challenger a couple months back.
Armie mm-hmm. Dillon.
Yes, but she won. Ronald McDaniel won, and she was backed by President Trump. Well, Ronald McDaniel, she's the one who would be setting up these debates.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on a cell phone level, friendship level, Trump and her. So I don't understand how he would object to the Republican National Committee, Trump, setting up these debates. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because Trump says they should have, nobody asked me where I wanted to do the debate, when I wanted to do it, and they need to, I paraphrase it now, but they needed to check with me. And
yeah.
With all due respect to the former president, no, they don't.
No.
Because you're not the only Republican. There are other people, too, and the Republican National Committee, they decide when and where the debates will be. So, I don't understand, quite frankly, the objections that the former president is laying out here. We'll see what happens. My guess is in the end he'll go to the debate in Wisconsin, but who knows? Yeah. Also, related to this, you know, Governor DeSantis, I just learned today, the Florida state legislature is poised either today, probably today, they're going to amend, I don't know if it's the constitutional rules or what it is, but exactly it's called. But there's a law in Florida that prevents you, I guess, from being governor and running for another office. Is that accurate?
I've heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of a formality because the Republicans have a supermajority in the legislature in Florida, and Governor DeSantis is what they're going to do. They're going to allow him to run for president and be the governor of the state of Florida at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to share some links to what you're talking about here.
That's been done down by Democrats and Republican governors down through history.
Right.
It's not unusual.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What you going to say?
I was saying I found some links here from Associated Press, National Review, some other websites, CBS, talking about what you're talking about here. So if you're watching the show on Facebook, look for those links.
Links to what now?
Florida GOP about? Said Florida. To remove hurdle to DeSantis White House bid.
And there are term limits in Florida. We just have to remind people, a governor is subjected to two terms. So it's not like he's trying to keep the job forever in case he doesn't.
So if Governor DeSantis does declare, and everybody thinks that he will in the next couple weeks, how many candidates would that make on the Republican side declared?
Let's see. We got Trump. We got Nikki Haley. We got Vivek Ramaswamy.
Those three.
Is Larry Elder a declared candidate?
Yes, he is.
Okay,
yes.
So that's four.
I think Asa Hutchinson is almost there.
That's five.
Okay. Yeah. Then we got Tim Scott looking at the possibility, and DeSantis inevitably announcing.
Okay.
Maybe Mike Pence. There's
not a path for Pence to become the nominee.
I'm starting to think that. You know, he was going to announce. Remember he said before Christmas, I'm going to go home, talk to my family early in the new year, but there's been nothing.
I don't think so. Because Vice President Pence, he ticked off President Trump by not rejecting the election results, by not rejecting the results on January the 6th. Uh-huh. Trump wanted him to send the votes back to the states.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And he said, no, I can't do that. I don't have the constitutional authority to do that. My role is ceremonial, which I agree with. Uh-huh. But Trump got mad at him and called him weak. Uh-huh. And so I don't think a lot of people among the Trump support base, who would go for Mike Pence under any circumstances. Uh-huh. And also for people who may be in the Republican Party who weren't all pro Trump, they don't particularly want to rally behind Mike Pence because they see him as too attached to January 6th and Mike Pence. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
So he's kind of in no man's land, quite frankly.
Yeah. Did you mention Pompeo?
He said he was not running.
Right.
Okay.
Now, I did find an article. Bear with me here a second. This is from 5 days ago. I want to make sure I didn't leave anybody out.
You mean
on who is declared.
Okay.
Whenever this decides to open, I'll let you know. Stay tuned.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
Well, let's mention this because Biden is, and Fred alluded to this a little bit in terms of what Biden is claiming in his ad. Let's begin with, for a moment, and air a portion of the initial rollout or announcement from Joe Biden that he is seeking re-election. Listen to some of the things that he claims, I would argue wrongfully, about Republicans. Clip three.
But you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms. Cutting Social Security that you've paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy. Dictating what healthcare decisions women can make. Banning books and telling people who they can love. All while making it more difficult for you to be able to vote.
Now, in response to that,
tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
In response to this,
Fleetwood Mac, 1970.
The Carpenters.
No, Chris, not every song from the 70s that Tim brings up is Carpenters.
I'm going to guess it until Jesus comes back and then I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But in response to Biden's comments there yesterday on Washington Watch, Tony Perkins had Congressman Dan Bishop on, a Republican from North Carolina, to answer to some of those things from Joe Biden. Clip two.
And one that is so incompetent, we haven't, you know, couldn't figure that anybody could trump the incompetence of Jimmy Carter, but he's done it. You know, he always wants to use that phrase, that MAGA extremists everywhere. Chip Roy had a good line in an op-ed today that in the spending bill that we're talking about, we'd like to take spending for fiscal year 24 to about the level that MAGA extremist Barack Obama projected back in his presidency. And he didn't believe in underspending. I tell you, this particular president has been a sad story for the United States. We're exposed to so many weaknesses and consequence of it abroad. We have debilitating damage in terms of inflation and other problems in our economy. It's time to turn a page, but he'll do what he's going to do, I guess.
Now, what we didn't feature there in the audio is Tony did ask him, what do you have to say specifically to the claims from Biden and other Democrats that Republicans want to cut Social Security? And Congressman Bishop called that a, quote, blatant lie from the president.
Yeah. You know what I don't like about politics? And I follow politics real closely. Some would say a junkie, but it depends how I'm feeling. But I do enjoy following politics. But what I detest is when politicians and parties, be they Republican or Democrat, want to make short statements of to try to make somebody look as bad as possible without being fair to the context of the discussion. And you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Republicans do that and Democrats do that. And I just want to, can we not have a rational conversation about issues that has some context and content and foundational issues discussed? Sure. You see what I'm saying? When Biden says all that garbage, it's garbage right there. Like we said earlier, he says Republicans want to ban books. As Fred said earlier, no, it's just not banning books for banning books' sake. It's not like Hitler burning books in Nazi Germany to promote propaganda. There's not the banning of books is not a discussion of what's appropriate or inappropriate for children to get in the schools. That's what the discussion is about, not banning books for banning books' sake. What did he also say there?
They want to tell you who you can love.
Okay, no, they don't. No, they don't.
No.
I don't know. Do you know any Republican that wants to tell people who they can love?
Nope.
If you want to you're a homosexual and you have a gay lover, I don't approve of it because Christianity says that's sinful. But that's their, that's their prerogative.
Nobody's calling to outlaw that.
Well, and we're not going to revisit the gay marriage issue. We're just not.
That elephant left the tent a long time ago.
As a country. So he's saying that, so I don't know what he's talking about there. What else did he say?
Restrict your right to vote. It's the age-old argument.
There you go again. Restrict your right for a go. You're a liar. You're lying.
He still brings up the whole they're going to deny you food and water.
Well, he said the Georgia law was Jim Crow 2, and as it turns out, after Jim Crow 2, Jim Eagle, he said, was passed, you had more participation by more Georgians in history.
Right.
There were no examples of anybody being denied the right to vote. As he said, black and brown Americans are being denied the right to vote in Georgia. Mm-hmm. That was not true. No. So again, here you go with just spouting off left-wing talking points.
If it was true what he claimed about Georgia, Raphael Warnock would not still be a U.S.
Senator. Exactly right. Uh-huh. Exactly right. So I just get tired of it, the way that especially done by the Democrats, but the Republicans they do it to each other too. It just gets tiresome.
Yeah.
Well, and I think in the Democrats' case, they know that they're not being held accountable by the mainstream media.
We used to have more real debates and discussions, and there used to be more intellectual depth to our politics in America
because they were held accountable by real journalists.
That's true. That's true. That's Republicans and Democrats.
Yes.
And today it's just throw one-line insults out and let that be your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know some people are laughing going, Tim understands intellectual depth? Yes.
Yes.
I do have that capability. Or some say I do. We'll be back momentarily.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18th to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stern. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Betty Glover of Phoenix, Oregon, has been ringing up groceries for the past 10 years. She loves her customers, loves her job. But it's time for Betty to retire. Her eyesight, not what it used to be, macular degeneration. Problem is, Betty did not have enough savings to quit her job. 91 years old and still bagging groceries. And Betty's not alone. The Census Bureau says about 49% of adults 55 to 65 don't have anything saved for retirement. One day, someone suggested GoFundMe, so Betty did just that. And within a matter of days, she raised nearly $75,000, more than double what she had asked, more than enough to pay for rent, medication, and groceries. And after a lifetime of work, she officially resigned. She plans to spend her twilight years visiting her grandkids and great-grandkids. And Betty is able to do just that, all because of the generosity of strangers. I'm Todd Stearns.
In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Ephesians 1, verse 11.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show, Fred, Chris, and Tim, and we invite you to watch the show and get the, if you want to see the stories that we're talking about, Chris, post them on our Facebook page so that you can have access to the stories that we use to prompt our discussions here. So go to Facebook Live and type in Today's Issues, Facebook Live. Type in Today's Issues, or you can go to our streaming service, streaming.afa.net, which is a live video streaming service for several of our programs that we air weekdays here on American Family Radio. Streaming, not screaming now, streaming.afa.net. If you want to send us an email, as long as it's positive and encouraging, you know, kind of like K-Love, we call it K-Love email. Go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Well, joining us now is Dr. Jessica Peck. She is the she's a pediatric nurse practitioner. She's the author of the new book Behind Closed Doors, a guide to help parents and teens navigate through life's toughest issues. And she is a new podcaster here on American Family Radio. So if you go to our website, afr.net, you'll see podcast, including Sandy Rios and others here. We have our podcasting is growing in popularity. We encourage you to check it out, including the podcast by Dr. Jessica Peck. Good morning, Dr. Peck.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Tim, Fred, and Chris here. I'm Walker's dad.
Oh, yes. I'm a fan of your son, I'll tell you. Anybody that's raising four boys like that is impressive.
Oh, yeah. He's got four of my 72 grandchildren. I think I got, I'm somewhere around that figure, I think. Huh? I'm like a patriarch.
There you go.
I really am.
You got a lot of kids.
I have four kids. I had two girls and two boys, and I thought I was a great mom when I had my girls, and then God humbled me and gave me my boys. They keep me on my toes. I love them, but man, they are adventurous.
Oh, yeah. Walker's got a 5-year-old boy, twins that are 3 or 4. See, don't hold me to this because I can't keep up with, I can't keep up with birthdays anymore. We got 10 grandchildren. Yeah. And then he's got the newborn. So, yeah, it's a crazy life right now for them. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would. What do you live in Texas, right?
I do. I live in Texas. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner in primary care, a professor at Baylor University. I'm married to a rocket scientist who's amused at the perception that I'm the smart one in the relationship when he is actually a rocket scientist.
Right, a real rocket scientist.
Exactly, yeah, okay. Exactly. And I live in Houston, and Houston, we have no problem with Houston. Our oldest daughter is a sophomore at Baylor University. She's a journalism major. We've got a daughter, my second daughter's going into nursing school in the fall, and we've got two boys at home. And really, you know, for me, I started out as a girl with broken family relationships, as a mom who was deeply insecure and how to be a mom myself, and really as a timid community college student. And now God has just directed my path and given me the experience and the insight and the heart, really. I've got Dr. Nurse Mama podcast is bringing my professor brain, my hands-on nursing experience, and my heart as a mom to be a guide on the side for parents who want hope for healthy relationships.
So you're a pediatric nurse practitioner. Right?
That's right.
So you're a medical doctor?
Well, I am an advanced practice nurse. I have a doctoral degree in nursing.
Gotcha.
So I have the doctoral degree, but the heart of a nurse.
Gotcha. Well, all right. Tell us about your book, Behind Closed Doors. Why did you write this?
Well, you know, as I have seen pediatrics change dramatically over 20 years, I almost don't even recognize my practice anymore. The things that we're seeing didn't even exist 20 years ago. Cyberbullying, sexting, pornography as we know it today, social justice, gender identity, all of these things. And really, it started in COVID as I was sitting in my backyard on the first day of quarantine. I sat out there with my journal and my Bible, and I really feel like God gave me a vision to see what was on the horizon. And anything that we knew was happening for families is just going to magnify and intensify. And so I started to write the book. And what is a book is I cover the top 12 things that I see in pediatric practice today. Each chapter takes parents behind a door. We go behind the clinic door where I give health impacts, and then behind the home door where I take those, what I talk about, demystifying that in the clinic. How do you take that home and make it a relationship building strategy and have intentional conversation around that? And then behind the heart door, because when we see what our teens are facing and the world that they are living in, it can make our hearts hurt. And I want to take really good care of parents' hearts. So we have scriptures and playlists and prayers and devotionals and all kinds of ways that we can look at our own hurts that we've experienced and seek healing from those so that we don't pass that on to our teens.
All right. So we're talking to Dr. Jessica Peck of Houston. By the way, those are the happiest birds I've ever heard. Are you like on the back patio doing this interview or something?
I confess I am. We had a leak in our house today, and we're having some work done, and so it's either the birds or hammers.
I just feel like I'm walking through the
Joe Biden head geese.
What?
Our guest
Mr.
has.
Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. That's what I feel like right now. That was, very comforting there for the happy birds there in the pack.
I'm glad that it was comforting.
Yes. So your new podcast.
This is real life.
What your new podcast here, Walker talked you into that?
He did, you know, and I was so grateful for that opportunity. I had started a podcast with my book, and actually the first podcast I did was as president of the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, and that was really for clinicians, you know, to talk about how do we help families. And then as I started talking, I realized more and more parents were listening in because they wanted in kind of this backstage view, you know, the man behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz thing. And so I thought, you know, that's really what I need to do is demystify and destigmatize what we're talking about in healthcare and let parents know, you know, we want to partner with you. You are experts in your child. We have some knowledge about pediatrics. And so let's share that and really partner together so that parents are equipped and engaged and encouraged and empowered. So on the Dr. Nurse Mama podcast, we are going to talk about all the things. I'm a nurse, so my specialty is talking about uncomfortable things in a way that's as comfortable as possible. I'll be talking to authors and experts and parents all over the country who are just sharing their journeys. I didn't step out on this platform because I have it all together. If you're expecting that, you will be sorely disappointed. The opening scene of my book is my daughter throwing a book at my head because we were just in perpetual conflict. But I have found hope and encouragement for the journey along the way. And each episode, I will give you what I call conversation keys, ways to start conversation that will unlock the door to your child's heart. Sometimes parents tell me they feel like it's a locked door. They don't know how to get in to where what's going on deep in the heart of their child. And each episode will give you conversation keys to invest in your relationship building journey.
Did the book hit you or did it? Did you miss?
It was four volumes. So it was like a multi-volume book. And
like one, two, three, four, or one book with four volumes that she hurled?
It was one book with four volumes, so it was about 1,000 pages. Almost knocked me out.
Well, you need a football helmet for that one. But obviously, obviously, there was a happy ending to that story, right?
Well, I think God has a sense of humor because what started as a book thrown at my head has become a book that He's given me to share with other parents.
Amen.
So I love how God does those full circle moments.
All right, let me just this book is excellent. Haven't read all the way through it, but read enough to know that it is. It's by Dr. Jessica Peck, who's our guest right now, who's a pediatric nurse practitioner in Houston. Behind Closed Doors is the title of it. And here's what she covers: so many great issues in her book that are confronting teens in particular today. Mental health, social media, cyberbullying, suicide. I'm giving you the chapters of the book. Vaping, substance abuse, divorce, sex and sexting, pornography, social justice, gender identity, and eating disorders. I want to ask you about one of these, and then maybe we can have you on every 2-3 weeks and cover them one at a time here. By the way, all this is covered in Dr. Peck's book called Behind Closed Doors. I want to ask you about one of them. That is this vaping craze. We all see people out doing that. So stores are popping up everywhere, and they're catering to people who vape. What exactly is vaping, and do you consider it dangerous? Go ahead.
Vaping is actually very dangerous for teens. It was started by a pharmacist in China who saw his dad die of lung cancer. That's really who's credited with the modern design of vape. And basically, it's an electronic device that delivers nicotine and other really harmful chemicals that are ultra-fine particles that bury themselves in their lungs. Now, here's the scary thing. Teens today know that smoking is bad, but they do not know that vaping is bad. Vaping to them sounds like vapor, which is just basically flavored water. And it is marketed to teens, and these devices can look like flash drives, like key fobs, like lipsticks. They look very innocuous, but even possessing one of those devices can result in criminal charges. And every week in my community police report, I see teens who are arrested for having these devices just in their possession. And they think that it's fine. Now, there's a discussion to be had about adults who may use vaping as a means to stop smoking. That's a completely different discussion. But for teen brains who have never been exposed to chemicals, this is very dangerous. And we're seeing 60, 70, 80% of teens saying that they've tried it, looking at the best data that we have from youth risk behavior surveys and other research that's coming out there. So, you know, I'll tell you, the first time I ever saw a student vaping, I teach nursing, and I saw, this was back when it first came out, and I was in the labor and delivery unit, and I came out to the nursing station, and there was a student in a cloud of vape, and I was incredulous. I mean, my jaw was on the floor, and I said, why are you smoking in the nurse's station? And she looked at me just as incredulously and said, I'm not smoking, I'm vaping. And the policy doesn't say you can't vape. It says no smoking. Like, yeah, I'm not going to smoke. And so I thought, wow, we really need to have some conversation about this.
Okay. Well, listen, Dr. Peck, welcome to the AFR podcasting family. I know you were already doing this prior to coming on with your show on our network, but we're very pleased to have you. And I know our listeners will benefit from your, are you going to do it weekly or how often?
It's going to be weekly, and I'll tell you, I have felt such a warm welcome from your listeners. I feel like I need to bring them a casserole because I've already heard from them. I mean, I feel like we're family, and so I'm just so appreciative. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. So go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see the new podcast there by Dr. Jessica Peck covering all these issues that I mentioned a few minutes ago and more. Thank you, Dr. Peck, and we just hope your birds keep singing. That's just so nice.
Thank you.
All right, thank you
so much. Okay. I appreciate you putting up with, you know, real life. That's what you're going to get on the Dr. Nurse Mama podcast. We're going to keep it real.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Boy, you can tell you're in the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Springtime
you're
South.
You're so nice, I'm going to bring you a casserole.
Casserole.
I love that.
That is.
I'm just curious. What kind of casserole does it have? Bacon?
Probably
cheese.
Well, anyway,
in the South, casserole is a food group. So,
in the South, mac and cheese is a vegetable.
It sure is. Yeah. We have it every time we have vegetables.
Yes, I think that extends up to the heartland in the Midwest too. Mm-hmm. Our cheesehead friends in Wisconsin, they probably think the same thing. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris, bring unto us the next story.
Let's mention this because it's something that should be an issue in the 2024 presidential election.
According to who?
Chris Woodward.
Okay.
Not the nephew of Bob Woodward.
I just want to make sure we know who the person is saying it should be an issue.
I think it should be an issue because I want to know what people that may be the leaders of this country and the free world are going to do about it. As we are speaking right now, news outlets, including the Daily Mail, are doing stories on the thousands of migrants that are marching through Central America on into Mexico coming towards our border. According to the Daily Mail, this group consists of people not only from Mexico, but other parts of the South America and Central America, as well as people from China. They're coming here and they're marching in hopes that we're just going to allow them into this country. And as we have talked about on the show, you have Democratic mayors like Eric Adams in New York saying, look, we're spending a ton of money trying to take these people in. And here we have presumably even more people coming in.
Well, it's not only China. I think the Border Patrol has said they have detected people from at least, 130 different nations. Also, I'd like to know how these folks from China got to Central America to begin the trek up to our border. I'm guessing they probably spent thousands of dollars for airplane tickets to fly because, and that kind of defies the image that a lot of people on the left would like to put out there, that these are poor, poor, poor folks that are just looking for a better life. No, there are people coming across this border right now that have lots of money, and they're coming and they're bringing crime. They are trafficking in children, all of these sorts of things. You can bet that you're not going to see a piece of video in Joe Biden's PR campaign of what's going on our southern border. In fact, his Homeland Security Secretary,
Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yes, Mayorkas, who keeps lying, even under oath, saying our border is secure. I cannot believe he's allowed to get away with this over and over and over again. He states emphatically that we have a secure border, and it just ain't so.
No, I ditto everything you just said, and I've said many times in the past, this is intentional. Biden and the Democrats want to flood the country with millions and millions and millions of people coming here illegally, and in hopes of turning them into Democrats who will vote in, what do you call it, perpetuity? Is that the right word? Forevermore?
Yep.
For Democrats. And that's the reason that Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, he did, whatever he says is just words, and he's just pretending to care, but he doesn't. And Biden doesn't care. And I don't know. I don't know. I guess Democrat voters don't give a rip how many people come here illegally either, because anytime Trump tried to do something about it, they said he was a racist. Well, Biden opens the floodgates, and not a word, not a peep from people in his own party about why this is bad for our country. And are we going to have law and order? The other thing is, and we pointed this out before too, for those of us who travel abroad, you know, I just went to Israel in March. Guess what? I got to have a passport to get into Israel. Guess what? We come back into JFK in New York. I better have my passport, or guess what? They're not letting me go.
That's right.
They're not letting me enter the United States. Well, why is that different for people traveling internationally on planes to have passports? And yet Biden says everybody's welcome to come over the border. And without COVID shots. But yet we still got to have, I think they still got to have at least foreigners, people visiting here who are not citizens of U.S. That's what I mean by foreigners. They got to have proof that they've been vaccinated. Still. Yet he lets millions of people come here who not only just are not COVID vaccinated, which that's a whole issue for another day.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't have vaccinations against diseases that, you know, smallpox or whatever that that would be devastating should they start crossing our country and being spread throughout America. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense, except that it's absolutely and completely planned and intentional for the reasons I mentioned. So
it's sad. There's just a headline Fox is running at this hour. Border Patrol surge in unaccompanied minors at border. So this is beyond what Chris was just talking about. We're talking about kids.
Yeah, it's a humanitarian crisis for sure. And these a lot of these children, unfortunately, are being trafficked. And their moms or dads or people are sending them here from around the world, mostly from South and Central America and Mexico, just to say, you know, walk into the U.S. and then the children become our problem.
This is why I think the Republicans running for president and whoever the nominee ends up being, you better go ahead and get it nailed down how you're going to communicate on this issue, because it will understandably come up in debates. What are you going to do about
this?
They'll
be prepared. They'll have answers.
Well, I think they need to say, they need to explain to people, look, it's not that you can't come here. It's that we have a system of laws and rules in which you need to follow. And here are those rules. Please follow them. Because.
Listen, you have to have law and order on your borders, so you don't have a country.
Yes.
Simple as that.
A country is defined by its borders.
Yeah.
And if the borders don't mean anything anymore. And, you know, just going back, the latest polling is showing that Hispanics are starting to move in the direction of the Republican Party, because those who have come here legally,
right,
and they built their lives and they have built their companies, those Hispanics are saying, we're not for this, what Joe Biden is doing on the border. We are totally against it. We have come here legally. We've worked hard.
Yeah.
We are contributing to the economy.
Right.
And these people are giving all Hispanics a bad name.
Right.
And there's rebellion growing in the Hispanic community.
And, you know, as we've said here before, you know, a lot of these people, these are poor people from around the world who are coming to our border wanting into the U.S. That's understandable. As Ed's talked about before, it's understandable on a human level because they're looking for a better life.
Sure.
From whence they come. So, but we can't let the whole world in because they're poor. Are there, you know what I'm saying? They want to, you can't do that. No. We can't absorb all these people.
No.
So as we said, you got to have law and order. There's a process to go through to immigrate to the U.S. You did it, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Millions and millions and millions of people are, have done it, and millions of people, I'm assuming, are in line to try to get into the U.S., and they're going through the legal process to do so. But you just can't have people crossing into the U.S. by the millions, and they're being dispersed by Biden all over the country. And it's ironic that the New York mayor, who's a liberal Democrat, he is exasperated with Biden and the Democrats because the governor of Texas in particular had a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, for those who want to go to New York, crossing over the border, we got buses for you. We'll take you there. So he bused them to New York City, and now New York City has, what, 50,000 or so of these folks? And then it becomes a problem.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, they're not the most welcoming city in the world. They're not, you know, then you got the mayor saying, wait a minute, we can't absorb all these people. We can't pay for everything, them to live. That's what the mayor of New York has been saying. But it's his own president that's the reason for this. And so, but Adams, the mayor of New York, he's like all alone because there's no other Democrats joining him and bringing attention to this problem.
And the strain that it puts on the system, you talk these people, millions of them now coming across the border.
Literally, we're not exaggerating. 4 to 5 million is what the numbers are.
But hundreds of thousands, of thousands of them need medical care.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Most of the kids speak one language.
Yeah.
What does that do to an education system?
Right.
Education
system. That's why we have a law. That's why we have an orderly legal process to come into this country that the Democrats have destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, next story. Chris.
Well, I've shared these links, and I want people to take a moment, if they can today, to watch the videos and listen to what people say. It's all the more reason to pay attention to what's going on in your local school districts. I say that because we've got headlines today like this. Vermont school district removes male-female from reproductive system lessons. This Vermont school district is now referring to females as persons who produce eggs. That's just one woke example. You've got a Washington State school board that's doing away with the band program to try to combat white supremacy.
It's what goes on in these deep blue states. They're full of whacked out people. Next story.
Well, and there was also, yeah. Well,
I don't know what else to say.
I'll share this op-ed because Loudoun County is still out there. They've got a new woke bathroom policy that even a teacher says is going to threaten student safety. So I'll share that link as well. I know we're up against
you're just a sharing person today.
My middle name is Link.
Yeah.
Christopher Link Woodward.
But sharing, too. You're a sharing person. You're sharing links left and right. Did you guys see where this, in Alaska, this moose went into the movie theater because he smelled the popcorn? And I was thinking, you know, at some level, I'm connected with this.
This moose?
This moose. Yeah, I don't know. It's you know, I identify with him. I bond.
Uh-huh.
I over these thousands of miles, I bond with that moose.
It's drawn to popcorn.
I'm drawn to popcorn, too, and I appreciate I think they ushered him out of the theater. I don't think he was welcome there, but he went in, started feeding off the popcorn machine there.
I'll find the link.
I got it right here, Chris. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Only in Alaska.
Huh?
Only in Alaska.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, can't come to the refreshment stand right now because we have a moose in the lobby. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.